All right, we finished up with verse 2 of Galatians 3 last week, and this week we're going to pick up with verse 3. Paul, again, is using these questions that he's asking them here in the first part of the chapter to make his point about how they had received nothing through the old law as far as salvation goes, that everything was through faith, which is what they had brought to them, to the churches there in Galatia area. Region. They'd heard the word, they'd heard the Spirit's words preached through Paul. They believed these words. They'd obeyed Christ. They were justified by this faith, and they were walking in this faith in the beginning while Paul was there and monitoring with them. So the question is, so can you now turn from the Spirit and be made perfect by following these rites or these traditions of the old law? And that's the obvious points that he's making. And he's going to use a little bit of chapter 3 here to continue doing that. These rites would be observing days, what to eat and not eat, festivals. If you think back through the old law, there was a lot of things that they were required to do. And none of those things that make them perfect or complete. Can you go back to the inferior, in other words, and be made perfect by it? Let's go to Hebrews just a second. I know our visitor last week that works over there with me, he was making that point too. How can you believe that the old law is still in effect in any manner, or fall to what they're falling to, if you believe the Bible? Because Hebrews, that's what Hebrews is about. A better way, the new way, the fulfillment of the old law, and this new law now that we are subject to. Hebrews chapter 8 verse 6 says, "But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises." The superiority of Christ and salvation through faith is opposed to this old law that was very specific to a specific amount of people for a specific amount of time, only to bring Jesus Christ into the world through. Back up to chapter 7 there in verse 16. Who is come, speaking of Christ here, not according to the law of a fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. How superior that what he had brought to them is the point that he's making to them. The answer was obvious. Man can't be made perfect by this old law in any manner, only by the Spirit of God, as we pointed out last week in John 6:63, when Christ said, "My word is spirit." And that is why that's what we receive, that's what indwells in us, and that's what changes us and makes us what we are. That's why they had the Spirit, was through the Word, through the faith of Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Plus, they had the laying on of hands when they had the miraculous gifts as well. Verse 4 there of Galatians 3, as we move on, he asks them this question: "Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain?" Persecution was something that was not new to these people. The Christians had been persecuted. And I made a note here because when you get to thinking about this, they're trying to take on portions of this old law, the Jewish law, and who is it that's persecuting them? It's their own, the Jews. You know, and you think, this should make perfect sense. I thought back about Acts 4:13, and some of those that we looked at. I think we looked at it before, but when you go back and look at some of these examples that were recorded for us in Acts about some of the persecutions that had came. Acts 4:13 here, Peter is standing before the Sanhedrin, And listen to what they have to say about this. It says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus." Drop down to 18. "So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus." The leaders of this old law were trying to carry on the old law past what God had purposed it for. And now that it was fulfilled and had accomplished its purpose, this old law was being pushed by these leaders to the point that they were persecuting Christ and the Christians, where salvation now lie and what everyone needed. We see there that the name of Jesus was forbidden. Thought about over in chapter 6 of Acts there with Stephen, verse 14. They say here, "For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs which Moses delivered to us." That's where it's cutting to the heart. That's where it's getting into their business, their status, their positions, and that's why it was met with such resistance. And we know from the story of Stephen that his speaking up against that, his unwillingness to relax, to compromise, costed him his life. But he died, and he never ever gave in or allowed it. I mean, even Paul himself, Paul knows this best of all, because he was very active in persecuting these Christians. And now he's fighting the battle of the Jews coming back and perverting this faith that the early Christians had. Acts 14, verse 22. Reminds us, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, "We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God." That's reality. It's not an easy path. We have to expect many tribulations. I'm thankful to God, as we prayed earlier, that due diligence was given in recording the persecution that happened to those who come before us, because it gives us a flavor of how blessed that we are with the freedoms that we enjoy to be able to worship Him and work for Him without fear of that. I noticed here in verse 22 and made a note here, this continue in the faith. It's another one of these verses that we can commit to our memory that's twofold. We can get another meaning out of this. We can continue and we can proceed out of faith. So it is a good verse to remember too, that we have to continue in faith, because if we don't continue in it, we can fall from grace as well. I think if you think of the persecutions that happened then and now, we probably, most of us, agree that one sign of sincerity or your loyalness or your commitment is the willingness to suffer for what you believe. And these men did. As C.L. pointed out earlier in the class, Stephen was a good example of one who suffered for his beliefs, and he never faltered. He never folded. He never bowed or caved in. But the point he's making that is, if this new doctrine is correct, that these Judaizers were bringing, all that suffering that they had been through was for naught. Some of the material that I looked at mentioned this new doctrine, and it just, every time I see that word "new," and every time we hear the word "new," you know, our radar should go up, our awareness should be heightened, because there's nothing new. There's nothing new under the sun, we're told, but there's nothing new in God's Word. We've had it since the these very days that we're reading about, and nothing has changed and nothing has been added to it. Hebrews 10, verse 35 and 36, and we'll move on from this verse as well. Hebrews 10, 35 and 36. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. There we go again, continuing in faith. Proof that we can cast away and be found out of grace with God. We have this need for an endurance. We've got to withstand and stay in it. Much of the world don't like to hear that. It's a lot better message for the world to believe that salvation is once and for all. But the Bible is full from front to back, warning us of what we need to do, because we can fall from grace. Verse 5, therefore he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by works of the law or by the hearing of the faith? There again, Paul pointing out, what basis have I ministered the Spirit to you? Paul preached to them by this inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We realize that was his, as we mentioned before, that was the Holy Spirit's, that's what he was doing right now. He was with all those that went out into the world. He was protecting the accuracy of what they were preaching and the unity together. Look at how much we looked at Paul, how many years and years and years that he preached. And yet when he went to Jerusalem, what he preached was exactly what everyone else had preached. That's because the Holy Spirit protected it and they kept in unity. But Paul also performed these miracles to prove that this message that he had brought them was of God. And then he gave them, after that, this gift of the Holy Spirit by the laying on the hands. So what then was the basis of the Spirit given to him? By the works of the law? Absolutely not. Or by hearing of the faith or obedience of faith? And the answer is obvious. That's exactly what happened with them. When we leave this part of chapter 3, we begin here in chapter 6. And there's a three-verse section here, 6 through 9. If you use some of the other translations break stuff down into groups and head it as far as topic goes. I know in the New King James Version here, this section of 6 through 9 of verse 3 is about Abraham was justified by faith, not by works, because we're going to make the point about Abraham, their father, as they qualified him. But we see here the children of Abraham are those who are justified by faith, both Jew and Gentile. Let's look at verse 6. Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. This is in reference to Genesis. I know in 15, verse 6, it's in the context of Abraham being promised offspring, promised children. Look at Romans. Romans covers it as well, because Paul has used this point before to make a point about Abraham's offspring and whatnot. Look at Romans 4. Start with verse 16. Therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise may be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, not just his, the one, but many, in the presence of him who he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body, already dead since he was 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. This is the context of offspring and Isaac. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, that being God, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification, speaking of Christ. So we see this context here in Romans about this faith they had, this one prong of the three-prong promise of these many nations, these descendants, this great number of descendants that he would have, that spiritually, when it becomes of a spiritual nature, it's the whole world, many nations, this promise is given. But you think about that, he was promised land, he was promised a great nation, and all the world would be blessed, or many descendants, and all the world would be blessed. Abraham, the more I think about him, you know, the more it impresses me of how his faith was, because you think about him leaving his home. He believed God, never doubted, he left his home. This promise came along of a land, a great nation or many descendants, and the world was to be blessed. And he lived all those years, even to 100, yet he had no country. He had no great nation that at least came from him. This blessing that was coming was prophesied in a sense through him, but they didn't know this blessing yet. And he's 100 years old, and he's told that he was to have an offspring. You know, his faith just grew. It stayed strong all the way through this. And you see all this and you think how easy it would have been to take a dim look or a bad attitude toward things when you don't see them working out. But he never wavered, and that's why his faith was counted to him to righteousness. But the point Paul's making in Galatians with this, he wasn't looked upon as righteous by his law keeping. He was looked up on his righteousness because of his faith. And that's what they've been brought, is the Spirit, the faith to save them, just like Abraham, just like what saved Abraham and was counted to Abraham as righteousness, this faith. Not the old law. He was made righteous by his faith in God's promises. It was not a dead faith. It was an active faith, an obedient faith. James 2 is so clear about faith and what it takes to have works, or it's dead. He showed his faith by what he did. It was his actions, his obedience, what it caused. Remember James chapter 2, verse 18, show me, claim your works, you know, with or your faith without works, I'll show you my work, or my faith by my works. So, that's what justified Abraham and made him righteous. An obvious point has to be understood here when it comes to Abraham. Here they are looking to him as their father. They've put all this importance on Abraham. And Paul's making the point, what was counted to righteousness for Abraham and what saves Abraham is faith. Just like I'm telling you now, it's through Jesus Christ, the faith, not the old law. And here's the point even more. We don't even hear about circumcision till Genesis 17 and verse 10, when God makes that covenant with Abraham and his descendants. That is after that, but it's 430 years before the old law even exists. If you're going to hang your hat on your father, hang it on the fact that faith saved him, just like that's what it takes to save you now. Not on the old law. Your father didn't, Abraham, didn't even know the old law. That was before, or I mean way after him. Abraham's righteousness didn't require keeping the laws of Moses because it didn't exist. There was covenant between him and God. But remember, the old law wasn't given, you know, until much later with Moses. So, were they under law then? Yes, they were under law then, but it wasn't this old law that they're falling back to. Any comments or additions or... I'll tell you what, let's move on then to verse 7. Just want to cover some ground here. Therefore, whenever we see that name, we know to look back. The comment that was just made, just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. That's the point he's making. Faith, faith, faith. Just like your father Abraham. Not the old law. Not the old law. Just like him, you're sons of Abraham now by faith. And that takes us all in. Jew, Gentile, men of faith, whoever they are, they're characterized as believing or believers, both Jew and Gentile, whose relationship to God is now based on faith and not works of this old law. According to the Judaizers, though, the ones that were following in behind Paul and causing all these problems, they're claiming that these true children of Abraham needed to be circumcised and must keep those portions of the law, the old law, and that's wrong. Because Abraham never kept those old portions of the law. They were just perverting the message or the gospel that was brought to these early Christians. They were adding to what they had received from Paul and Barnabas and those who had spread the word and began these churches. So, that's the gist of what Paul's trying to get across to them. You hang your hat on Abraham, hang it on what he did then. Don't hang it on something he didn't do. He finishes making that point, they're justified by faith. That's the true sons of Abraham. Verse 8. We covered some of this last week when we did the invitation. God's foreknowledge of salvation by faith is shown by what the Scripture recorded hundreds of years earlier. Verse 8, and the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. That was part of what Abraham was receiving, part of what was prophesying what was to come. Did they know who it was and what? Not necessarily, but the idea that God was working this out, it was premeditated, it was going to accomplish exactly what it did, all that was already revealed hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before the old law ever existed. That's the point that he's making. He made that promise to Abraham in Genesis 22 and 18. Again, reemphasize it, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. And when you look at Genesis 22 and 18, that's in the context that after all this that had happened to finally receive an offspring in Isaac, to finally have that offspring in hopes of this great nation, if that's what he thought it to be, a physical one, he's asked to sacrifice it. And not even that wavered Abraham's faith. He did exactly what he was asked to do. He obeyed. And we see there the great evidence of his faith. This seed to come, of course, was Jesus the Messiah. And all, both Jew and Gentile nations, were going to be blessed by it. That's why they said his descendants will be many nations. It's a spiritual descendant. By faith. In this promise, in reality, even to Abraham that far back, the good news of salvation was actually being preached at that time. They just didn't know the details of it. But that's exactly what was being conveyed to them. Thus clearly showing the blessing was not in circumcision and law keeping. You can't make that connection anywhere. Verse 9. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. I've got a note in my Bible at the end of verse 9. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham because he believed before the old law. Making that very point that they're blessed with believing Abraham and believing what Abraham was doing. So the conclusion was obvious. If you believe as Abraham believed, you will be blessed as he's blessed. Abraham didn't have a dead faith. He had an active faith. A dead faith is faith only, no obedience to what God requires. And you get James 2:17, verse 18, verse 24. I mean, all of James 2, you can go right through there and see it. An active faith is one that does what God requires. Abraham did what God required of him. And just as verse 6 reminded us, to him that was accounted to him as righteousness. Just as it will to us today. He's faithful all the way through, continued in obedience to God. A couple of conclusion notes here. Justification don't come by law keeping, but by faith in the promises of God through Christ. The Jew was being called upon to turn from that law for this justification and to put his trust in the death of Christ, the faith in Jesus Christ and what Christ could bring to him. He was to put his faith there for his justification, and it had nothing to do with the old law. Talking about Abraham being faithful all the way through, we mentioned a while ago some of the things that Abraham was promised. He saw. His faith never wavered. This Jewish nation, just as we read a while ago in our reading, they were threatened. Their status, their positions, everything that they were so invested in stood to be lost. They placed all their status on their physical relationship and this lineage or bloodline that they had from Abraham through this old law or due to this old law. When in respect, the whole world followed as Abraham did in faith, we do, for salvation. You got to kind of keep the old law in its place. It was a law that was given. We know by God's revelation to us, it was given to Moses after they come out of captivity. It was given to a certain people, the Jews, the Hebrews, the Israelites, for a certain amount of time to accomplish a certain purpose. And that's Jesus Christ to come into the world. It was never meant for the whole world. Man had been under God's law hundreds and hundreds of years before it ever came into existence. And all of man is under a law now, the new, since Jesus Christ was here. So it was specific law, specific lineage to bring Jesus Christ into the world to, and then it was fulfilled. It was used. I'm not saying we got a tendency of talking about the old law as something bad. It's nothing bad about the old law. That was a great thing. It had purpose, and it served exactly what God intended it to do by bringing Jesus Christ into the world. But once it was fulfilled, that's why we have so much scripture of saying it was fulfilled, it's done, it's put away. And we got to move on with faith. And that's the point he's trying to make to them. We now, just like Abraham, are saved by our faith. Not the law. That's a break, I think, but we've got just a few more minutes here. Next week, when we pick back up, this next section, verses 10 through 18, we got an opportunity here. He gives some more reasons through these 8 verses here, 9 verses, in reasons why justification can't be by the law, he makes some points. He spent all of his time here in these first two chapters of Galatians. Number one, defending his apostleship. Number two, defending his message that he was bringing to them and the proof that it was right. So really, in chapters 3, he's picking up steam here, making this point to them. And he's begun here in chapter 3 by showing why justification can't be by the works of the law. And that's what these next verses are going to continue to cover. It's going to cover the fact that they're cursed by the law. That's a good point to bring out to them because they were very aware of that. They knew. They'd just come out from under the old law. And they knew that that salvation was not there. They had all the scripture and the prophecy before about how they were cursed under the old law. And it'll give us a chance when we get on down into the reading to contrast that old original law that man was under from the beginning of creation and it stayed in effect till Jesus Christ died, along with sharing part of that time with the old law that was to the Jews. That time frame from creation to Jesus Christ, every man was under that old law of God, and that old Mosaic law was only to the Jews that covered that short time at the end. Give us a chance to look at that a little bit more. Any questions, comments, anything I need to clear up, straighten up? All right, thank you.